Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're kicking off our end-of-year fundraising drive with a special discount offer from our partner, Heritage Foods USA, an online farm-to-table butcher shop specializing in heritage-breed antibiotic-free meats. Donate to Heritage Radio Network before Sunday, December 4th at heritageradionetwork.org/donate, and we'll send you an exclusive discount code for 10% off all Heritage Foods products. Help ensure another year of great food radio, get 10% off delicious and sustainably produced meat, and support small family farms all in one shot. How's that for a holiday miracle? Head to heritageradionetwork.org/donate by Sunday, December 4th to make your contribution.
Today's program was brought to you by Roth, Wisconsin, makers of the world's best cheese and pioneers in the U.S. artisan cheese movement. For more information, visit rothcheese.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to the Grape Nation, your weekly wine journey. Our guest today is one of my all-time favorite people in the world, Gary Vaynerchuk. We'll talk wine, tech, social media, hustle, entrepreneurship, and a bunch of other stuff. We'll also taste a great Cali Cab with Gary on the weekly wine sip. I'm your host, Sam Ben Ruby. Stay with us for the Grape Nation on the Heritage Radio Network. We bring wine to the people. All right, fresh out of college, Gary Vaynerchuk, and fresh out of college was a stretch, that's for sure. Gary Vaynerchuk grew his family wine business, the Wine Library in New Jersey, from about $3 million to $60 million in just 5 years. During that time, he was among the first to use the internet to promote the wine store and also created the wildly popular Wine Library TV. He now runs VaynerMedia, one of the world's hottest digital advertising and marketing agencies, serving Fortune 500 companies. Along the way, he became a prolific angel investor and venture capitalist, investing in companies, and maybe you heard of some of these, like Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Uber, and Snapchat, among others, before eventually co-founding VaynerRSE, a multi-million dollar fund investing in tomorrow's companies. You can also see Gary on a regular basis on The Daily V and the Ask Gary V show on the internet. Gary Vaynerchuk is also a New York Times best-selling author.
Four times over.
It's in the notes. You don't have to tell me. And a very sought-after public speaker, the king of the keynotes.
Oh, I like that.
Welcome to the Grape Nation, Gary.
Oh, the clapping. I like this.
Listen,
Ruby, I'm super excited right now.
Listen to me.
Yes.
A lot of people know who you are, but
yes,
we're going to assume that our Heritage Radio listeners don't know who you are.
Okay.
And you have a very, very interesting and colorful sort of journey to where you are today.
Yes.
And I think they'd love to hear about it, but don't take
world,
like 20 minutes talking about it, all
right? I was doing my first book signing in Columbus Circle. I had a huge crowd, and some weird guy with a huge mustache is like, you need to be on radio. And he just would never leave me alone. And that is your host here, everybody, Mr. Ben Ruby. And so
That was a show we did on Sirius Satellite
Radio.
Which
was a lot of fun. And let me tell you, listening to his early kind of remarks here, I was way better on the radio than he was.
It was your show. I created it and co-hosted it.
Listen, I brought you in all the time because I needed that crutch. And now to watch you now be the star of your own radio show,
I'm
very excited. I'm very humbled to be here. I'm also a proud employer of your entire family. And I'm really excited about this. I mean, this is going to be an all-time classic to watch. But my story is very simple. It's actually quite classic. It's very much a lot of people's grandfather's story, which is my family immigrated from the Soviet Union, and I was a merchant, like just a lemonade stands, baseball cards. It led to me being involved in my dad's liquor store. I hated beer and wine.
Yeah, but you were way more active as a kid than most of your friends.
Oh, I'm.
Whether it was lemonade stands, selling baseball cards.
I tried to sell my sister. I mean, I was out of control. I mean, like, you know,
nice.
my family this weekend, we were celebrating Thanksgiving, and my dad was making the joke that if eBay was around when I was in high school, that he would have come home one day and there wouldn't have been a single thing in the house.
That's true.
I have high energy, no question. By the way, it's driven by gratitude and the understanding of all the opportunities we have. If you're sitting and listening to this and you don't understand the opportunities we have, you know, it's a losing formula, because there's so much opportunity. There's so much opportunity for the ones that understand themselves. I deployed a lot of self-awareness at a young age, which allowed me to be a poor student but hone the skills that have become the foundation of my life, which are people skills, emotional intelligence, salesmanship, business structures. Went on to build, you did the intro, so we don't need to go into that.
But you always made the case that some kids were not built for 4 years of high school and 4 years of college, and parents didn't recognize that and didn't nurture it. At least your mom gave you the support and the space.
Perfectly Parented, the book that I will write one day that will speak to how to raise an entrepreneur from an entrepreneur's perspective of being perfectly parented. And yeah, and I think it's interesting, Sam, you know, it's we're starting to see the conversation amongst parents to having an open mind of allowing their kids to do different things. And it's very exciting for me to see, because I grew up in the 80s and 90s when going to a good college was the single blueprint. When I was making $3,000 a weekend selling baseball cards but getting a D in science, I was a loser. Today, I'd be on the cover of
Most kids would take that deal.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, right.
I'd be on the cover of Fast Company right now. And so it's very interesting to see the world change.
So this is a wine show.
Oh, okay.
So we got to talk a little about wine.
I'm excited
about
that.
We're not going to talk exclusively about wine.
No, I can see that. We haven't.
But at least if, you know, we start with the wine thing. It's sort of reminiscent of Wine and Web.
Yes.
Where we talked a little about wine and we'll talk a little about social media. But anything in the past, I mean, you want to – I did set you up with that intro, which didn't leave you much to –
No, but I mean, you mean from a wine standpoint?
No. We'll get to that. But anything else?
No. I feel great about everything.
All right. So – most of your life was consumed with wine up until not that long ago.
That's right.
You know, I mean, your family business, your dad, you got involved with running the business. The Wine Library TV was huge. I mean, do you miss that? Or?
Yes. But there's something.
How?
I'll tell you how. First of all, I mean, I was literally texting with Brandon right now, writing tomorrow's wine
Brandon
offer.
Brandon runs Gary's store for him. And
my
is
dad,
an old,
Sasha's
and
his, store, by right. the way, if he's listening.
Yeah.
I don't
He'll
want him
kill
to kill
me at the next
kill
jet
you,
game.
Kill you.
Russian headlock.
Listen, I think that a couple things emerged. So just for everybody who I know, a lot of you don't know who I am, from 15 to 34, it's probably the only thing I cared about except for the tail end of baseball cards at 15 and the beginning of technology at 30. So, like, it is the core of my life, my obsession, passion of wine,
but
and the wine business. And then what I didn't realize, and this is giving you the answer, I drank a Dalforno Amarone last night. 7 years ago, I would have drank that, and everything that would have been happening in that moment was, who can I sell this to? What's the margin? How do I get more of an allocation? And last night I just drank it. I'm like, my God, this is really good.
You learn to sort of enjoy
it. It's crazy.
Savor.
Think about
celebrate.
This. For everybody who's listening, if you grew up in the sports business, for us, oh my God, that athlete. Oh my God, this. You have an amazing media career, right? People would freak when they met Howard Stern. It was your normal day to day.
Right.
You know, what you learn and what everybody listening knows is no matter what you do for a living, when you're deep in it, you start really easily forgetting what made it magical. You know, you went to Hollywood to make it, you kind of make it. The first 15 times you saw a star, you lost your mind, you text your mom, you called your mom back in the day.
It's just a job.
That's
eventually.
Right. And so what happened was, it was a commodity that I sold. I loved the business. I loved the farmers, the artists, the winemakers. I loved it. I loved it. But it became my business. It was always only my business. It's no different than social media, by the way. People always ask me, what's my favorite social media platform? I've only known it from a business standpoint. I didn't grow up with one. I went on Twitter and Facebook early to build business, so I've never had a natural relationship with social networks. And so,
but business and personal. And
yes,
personal is business for
me. For
you,
that's
too.
Right. That's right.
You
and
know,
so,
the brand.
And so what's happened the last year or two, Sam, is I've actually become a wine consumer, and it's been fun.
So let's stay on that for a minute. So as a consumer and having the past, are there any trends or anything going on in wine that you've noticed now?
Yeah. So I still keep quite a close communication with Brandon and my dad and know a lot about what's going on in the industry. I think one of the things that's really fascinating to me is, much like I was very right about Burgundy's explosion a decade ago, I'm positive.
What preceded that? Bordeaux's?
Yes. And Colt California Cabs.
It shifted to Burgundy.
Yeah.
Not because of the Chinese, just
a little bit for a few minutes, but just by logic.
Right.
You know, once Parker became not the only voice in wine, people started saying things like,
which we'll get to in a few seconds.
Okay. I'm always trying to set you up.
Thank you.
You know, what happened was, as Parker became one of the most important voices instead of the only voice like he was for 15 years, along with Wine Spectator, what happened was people started deploying logic, and they said, you know, there's 28,000 cases being made of Chateaubriand or Lafite, and there's 330 of this single vineyard, you know, Burgundy. And so just supply and demand kicked in.
So that allure of collecting and hard to
don't
get.
Don't forget, Parker got kicked out of Burgundy. There was a lot of controversy
there.
He was
a Cali Cab and Bordeaux heavy
and
big
Rhone,
wine.
And Rhone.
And Rhone. Big Rhone.
And but he loved Burgundy. The truth is, I won't speak to it because I never fully knew the story. I could recall it. He had a controversy with a couple of producers. He stopped reviewing Burgundy. That's why he brought on Pierre Rivani way back when he first introduced another critic. And so what happened was, Burgundy just wasn't that important to the high net worth individuals of America, and then they became it, and then supply and demand kicked in. I believe the same thing will happen to Barolo. So my big prediction here on Heritage Radio Network,
On the Grape Nation, where we're bringing wine to the people.
We're bringing wine to the people.
So the trend is
if you're a collector and you want to buy some wine for your kids' weddings, or like the guy who hosts his shows made some good money on flipping some wine, he made some good bets, I would buy small, tiny production, highly rated, sought after Barolo, Bruno Giacosa, Red Label,
Conterno.
Stuff like Conterno single vineyards, you know, because I believe that Barolo will become a dominant wine of choice of the next generation because it sits in between that Pinot Noir, Cabernet cycle.
It has the finesse and the complexity.
But the power.
Let's just drop a little knowledge on our listeners. So Barolo is an Italian wine.
Yes.
It's from the Piedmont section of Italy,
correct,
which is one of the great wine-growing regions.
It's made
the
by
grape,
Nebbiolo.
The grape is Nebbiolo, where people who know Tuscan wines is predominantly Sangiovese.
That's right.
And it's probably more Burgundian than Bordeaux. It's, you know, finer.
Yes, it's definitely, when you pour it, you can see your fingers through it. But it has a huge amount of power, more so than most Pinot Noirs. And it definitely has an old world style, less fruit. And it's amazing with food. And it's very popular, by the way. If you're a novice, this is a very big time wine. If you're a hardcore wine person listening, you know this grape, you know this region, you know this wine. I just think they're underpriced. In the same way
you can go 30 to hundreds. And
yeah,
there's good stuff for 30, 40,
there's
50.
There's a ton of stuff at 50, 60, 70. And when you go to like 90 and 120, I just think those wines are going to be 500 and 800 in the next generation.
And in their category, they rival wines that are like 200, 300, 400.
That's a really good way to put it. So that's exactly right. An $80 Barolo to me is the equivalent quality value of a $300 Bordeaux, of a $300 Burgundy, of a $200 California Cab. So you can really do some damage in the quality price ratio.
So take that to the bank, because I agree with you. You know, I don't quite, I think that's a good call.
Thank you.
But I have a question. When you say Barolo, is that implying that Tuscan wines, the super Tuscans and all that, have sort of been on the scene and run their course? Or Barolo will sort of
I think it's going to surpass it. I think it's going to be a very similar thing to collectors that.
But they haven't had the run the Tuscans have had, you could say, right?
That's
Sasakaya,
right.
Horn Elias.
There's
a handful of Barolo producers.
Rick, who just made his first big check at Goldman Sachs at 28, he's going to buy at the restaurant trying to press the girl that he's trying to hook up with that night.
Good Barolo?
A Tig. A Sasakaya.
Guado Altasso.
A Celaya. He's not going to say, hey, baby, check out this, you know, Aldo Canterna.
Right.
You know, and so to me, that's where the opportunity lies.
I think you're right on that. Now,
By the way, Rick's girlfriend in that scenario is Sally.
Okay. All right, so taking that trend, let's talk about trends in social media that affect wine.
Okay.
And the reason I said we'll get to that is you were alluding to it, because I think Burgundy, which was not well covered, was now available on the internet with Berghound and Galone, whoever, all these other guys.
You know, it wasn't Alan Meadows Berghound. It wasn't Tanzer. It was these E. Robert Parker forums.
That's right.
It was Wine Berserkers.
That's right.
It was these nerd wine forums and auction
talking
prices.
Talking from the street,
right.
Literally.
That's right. But by the way, the high class street, the boardroom.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it ran the range. I mean, yeah. There were guys that could afford a $400 bottle, and a guy that never drank anything
than
60.
That's right. In the community.
So how has social media affected wine?
A lot.
That's a bigger question.
A lot. So
what are the obvious things?
Your strikingly handsome son that's with us right now, who's, you know, raving to 2 a.m. and hooking up with chicks.
Two.
He doesn't even start a Snap story until two.
Yeah.
He, you know, if he didn't know me and you, he, exactly him. How old are you now?
27.
The 27-year-old New Yorker making a couple bucks, going out at night. He's going to follow 4 or 5 sommeliers and actually produce his knowledge from those people, not from the Wine Spectator. And so that's how it's changed it, right?
That's right.
He's absolutely now being influenced by Andre Mack or Lauren Maniac or all the somms that now post something. And so he's going to see a Snap or an Instagram review of a wine, and he's going to save it, and he's going to walk into his local wine shop and be like, do you have this? And so that's how.
So the base of people who disseminate information is huge.
Democratized.
They're reputable because they're somms, they're retailers.
100%.
They're people who drink a lot of wine and have a good taste and all of that.
I remember saying something.
So that's a community thing.
It is. It's the internet impact on society in every category.
Right.
But most of all, it's fun to look back when I said in interviews about Wine Library TV that I was the preview, not the anomaly. As you know, because you follow the space, I got a lot of credit. I was first. I was first on YouTube. That was a good call. I was first. I was the first person to carry a lot of weight in the wine world that wasn't one of the 5 or 6 wine magazines.
For sure.
And so,
total outlier.
That's right.
Wine Library, all that
wine
stuff.
Wine Library TV became this huge thing. I could sell a lot of wine or kill a wine. People bought and drank wine because of what I said, and I was doing it strictly through YouTube. And what I remember being right about was, yeah, I've got some charisma and I've got my thing and I'm going to be special, but this is going to happen for everybody. Anybody good enough. And what I also thought, and it played out, was, okay, well, I'm good on video, but as I remember thinking Blogger and WordPress, because those were blogs back then, as the, you know, I didn't really even know social, nobody knew, I didn't know social media was coming. You know, and so obviously Instagram, as we can all who's listening understand, what an easy platform for anybody to be a wine critic. Take a picture of the label, write 2 sentences, mazel tov.
From a famous sommelier to the guy next door.
That's right.
For sure. All right, so
as a matter of fact, are you creating like the wine that we're about to taste and you taste with other guests?
We have Instagram.
Great.
We'll get to Snapchat.
Okay.
It's just because I'm too old and lazy, but I'll get there. We're on Twitter. We'll get there. Don't worry. Ben is helping me. All right, so let's...
I mean, Ben's... The only meeting Ben's ever had with me at VaynerMedia was, hey, I don't want to be too pigeonholed as the Snapchat guy. I mean, that's how hardcore he is Snapchatting.
Anytime we haven't done one Snapchat.
Jesus.
All right, so let's move
Where's Jake?
Let's move away from wine. We had some good insights on wine. Let's talk about, you know, really where you've established yourself of late. Let's start with VaynerMedia. So
okay.
You built a marketing machine, which I know this because I've been around you from the beginning, basically based on your intuition. You decided, I'm going to build this business. Here's what I'm feeling. This is what I'm going to tell people. Is that an accurate portrayal of what VaynerMedia is?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I am building an agency, full service, does everything, so I can use it for myself and my future business behaviors for my whole life. It's got to be so weird for you, because it was when we first started meeting each other.
When I pitched you for the show, you were down in Tribeca at a...
DeBrosis.
At a group space.
That's right.
Way before there was WeWork and all that.
That's
other.
Right.
It was an Israeli guy,
that's
as a
right.
matter of fact.
Henny.
And...
Sunshine Suites.
And you probably had 12, 14 employees.
That's right.
So tell people how big the agency is now.
So back then we were, that's probably right, 7 to 12 people doing, you know, 800,000 a year. And now we're 725, 735 people doing 100 million a year. And we've done that in, you know, 7 years.
So globally.
Globally, London,
around
the whole
the
thing.
Country.
It's really cool. You know, it's, listen, I'm trying to think. I know a lot of people are listening that don't know me, so I'm going to try to hedge on the ego here. I suck at a lot of stuff, but I'm a very good businessman. And if I decide to do something and
well,
stick
just
to it,
while I have you here,
yeah,
and you know I'll see you a lot after this,
yeah,
and I could use this for the future. Just tell me one thing you suck at.
Oh, a lot of things.
Well, so, give me one that you really suck at.
Science.
Science. Okay. Everyone science. Sucks at science.
Running fast.
Okay.
I'm fairly slow.
Okay. Or a white Russian guy.
You know. But to make it, you know, yeah, that's about it. Science and running.
All right. So you have the agency, and I mean, I had been around advertising and marketing a long time. I think the business has changed incredibly. Tell me your duration at VaynerMedia in general, the changes,
yeah,
you know, and the differences.
I mean, the first meetings I walked into, Campbell's, Pepsi, the NHL, they didn't even know what Twitter was. And I don't mean like they hadn't checked it out. It was like, hey guys, you should be on Twitter and Facebook. And they're like, what's Twitter?
So the major part of that answer is as social media was coming into the advertising world.
We were there.
That was...
I was right.
That was your intuition.
100%.
And that's an important part of the agency.
It's the important part of life. Right? It's how I married my wife. It's how I was built the wine business.
What, on the internet?
Yes. J-Date and the intuition of our first date. I was like, this is my wife. That was a great decision. It's how I built Wine Library. I was right about the internet itself. I was right about Spanish Australian wines when nobody wanted to hear it. And then Wild Duck Mucks getting 100 points from Parker. I mean, my narrative is pretty basic. Like, I have a good nose. What I think I do really well is I bet on it. And so, like, for everybody listening, so this is less about me and more about you, like, how about this next year? If you get anything out of the Grape Nation, maybe this inspiring moment, how about for once in your life, if you've never done it, or for the people that have done it a couple times but not in a long while, how about just going all in on something you believe in?
Now's the time.
Like, what are you waiting for?
You say that all the time.
I believe in it.
And I know you believe in it because that's why you say it. And it's never too late for anyone to go all in.
Look at you.
Look at me.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I love that about you.
Yeah.
No, I'm being, don't be humble. You're a character. You know what?
I appreciate
guys, just
that.
So everybody knows, he's red as a beet. You're listening to one of the great dudes of all time, and the way he takes compliments makes me laugh. Because just for, if you haven't picked up on it yet, I'm great at taking compliments. I take them very easily, and to be very frank, expect them. But, you know, yeah, man, look at you. Like, first of all, you're young. What are you, 54?
No, older.
55.
But we're not going to get into that. Go
oh,
ahead.
You're 60. Right. Jesus Christ. You're 64.
I'm like your dad's age.
No, you're 61. You're 61.
I'm your dad's age.
No, you're not.
I'm
you're
your
my
mom's age.
That's why I'm trying to do the math.
Yeah.
You're 61, and you feel like you're 16 to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to
it's
me, that's
what
the,
you want to do. It's who you want to surround
and
yourself
by the way,
with.
I know 61-year-olds that are dead because I come from a country where people died at 60, so a lot of my mom's and dad's contemporaries, they think at 55, you kind of shut it down. I had lunch today with Stephen Ross, my business partner. He owns the Miami Dolphins. He's one of the richest
related
men in the world,
companies,
right?
Companies, big real estate.
He's 76. The entire lunch was fire.
He you know, still got
I was
it.
Like, listen, if you keep acting this way in modern medicine in 15 years, you're going to be rolling this hard. He's like, it was funny. I was trying to like kind of give him, I was trying to give him something. He looked at me like, of course at 91 I'm going to be fucking on fire. So, oh, can we curse?
Yeah.
In the show?
Okay. Yeah. So the nice thing about that is it's easy to talk to a guy like that. That's why you and him are in business together. He can relate to you.
Do you think
he's in awe of you?
Forget about him for a second. Do you think I'd be sitting here
if
you weren't the same? You're, I mean, you know, like,
no,
it's not a number. It's how you roll. It's what you do.
Right.
And by the way, let's try to tie this into the show. Can you guys all please do me a favor? If you have not tried a style of wine ever before, go buy that wine tonight. If you've never had a Tanat from Uruguay, if you've never had a Verdejo from Spain, if you've never had
Torrontes from Argentina,
a Banyuol, which is late harvest Grenache from the south of France, like
even a Beaujolais Nouvelle,
anything.
Nouveau Beaujolais.
By the way, Beaujolais Nouveau is dead. It's lost all its momentum.
Has it?
Yeah.
Because Beaujolais is kind of hot.
Well, Beaujolais,
yeah.
Cru Beaujolais, that's
right.
Real shit.
Right.
So for me, this works in the most micro things, like what you drink at wine, and it works at the most macro levels of like your life. It's that.
Agreed. All right, so working at Vayner,
yes.
Running Vayner,
yes.
Speaking all over the country.
Yeah.
Let's
world.
Just talk
I'm
world. This past week, I think you were in Lisbon, London, crazy. Let's talk about, we talked about wine social media trends. Just kind of get me up to date, social media trends.
House
what's
party.
Really happening today.
House party.
What is house
party?
I know what it is, but tell our listeners.
Well, you tell our listeners. I want to hear you explain it.
Well, I'm not that sure because I haven't embedded, but
okay.
I watch the kids. I think it's a video platform
yep.
where multiple people, but
yep.
limited to a certain number,
yep.
4-6, can get on FaceTime and talk together
yep.
and just, you know, have
yep.
a good time.
It's a,
and,
what is it, 6 or 8? 8, right? It's an 8.
And
it's
if
up
you
to
know somebody,
people.
They can come in, but the stranger is a connection
that's
to
right.
some extent.
So it's an 8-person face, you know, it's an 8-person FaceTime if you want. Think about this. Think about how many times you wanted to watch that football game with all three of your buddies, but you're in different places. It's the closest thing to replicating that I've seen. And the onboarding is incredible. Like where house parties winning. By the way, full disclosure, this app used to be called Meerkat. Which I think some people have heard of. And I was an investor in
right.
Meerkat. So before I get into like why I believe in it, you should know that. But if you knew anything about me, you would know that I shit on my investments as much as I herald them. They've got something right now. So they're hot.
They have legs, you think?
I don't know.
It's early.
It's early. But it's got traction.
So
it's happening. Marco Polo.
Which is another app?
Not an investment of mine, but another communication app, video, like conversation. Like they've got some traction. So there's some new emergers.
Is Snapchat already sort of a mature, they made it, they're going public thing? Or
yes, but what's happening is Instagram's feature copies have definitely slowed some of Snapchat's growth. And so it's been fascinating.
But Instagram reacted to Snapchat, right?
100%. But how one reacts is the most important thing.
I'm not blaming
them.
No,
I know you're not. They've reacted in a way that has been successful. Ben, you have less views on your Snapchat over the last 3 months?
Yeah.
And by the way, from Ben, how many do you get?
150.
Right. So small numbers to my, you know, tens of thousands, pushing 100,000. We've all felt declines. And so, you know, Snapchat's going to have to address that. On the flip side, Snapchat spectacles and like there's
right.
so many things
there's
going
still
on.
There's stuff going on.
There's so much stuff
what
going on.
What about everybody talks about Twitter and their survival and what they're doing?
Yeah.
I mean, are they going to
I don't know.
I think
you know,
they may have to change a little.
Because they're a public company, I hate to make predictions about Twitter because the board may do something, another company may come in and do a hostile takeover by buying all the stock, like I don't know, but I will say this. They didn't innovate enough over a 5-year period and allowed other things to happen, which allowed people to, you know, chip away at their market share. They were never mainstream enough. Normal people never fully understood it.
They didn't pivot when they could have and should have.
Yeah, and I wouldn't call it a pivot. They didn't feature ad. Think about Snapchat. They add shit every day, it feels like. Instagram, look at all these changes. So quick iteration matters in technology companies, and I don't think Twitter did well in that way.
So the future
not
remains
bright.
To be seen?
Not bright. But here's what I will say, that Twitter is needed. We need a water cooler of society.
Agreed.
So whether Twitter makes it or not, I don't know. But
can it make it just as that? Because everybody thinks it should be even more.
I do think it can. They need to what Facebook did to MySpace, I think somebody could do to Twitter.
Right.
Looks a lot like it. some different.
But a good example is they were, and you would know better than me, they were sort of on the money with Vine. I mean, it was a hip idea. Was it their inability to kind of carry it through, or
it
just
was Jack's brilliance as an entrepreneur and CEO to know to buy it? It was very hot.
Very hot. It shut down.
Well, they bought it and they put it into a big company. And you've been in corporate America.
It didn't. They
you know
couldn't make it fly. Yep. Yeah. Yep. 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 All right. Let's talk.
What
about...
What did you drink on Thanksgiving?
We had Barolo.
No shit.
Which is great with turkey. We had a Turley's Infidel, which
nice.
Is like a velvet hammer.
Yep.
We had a Pinot Noir.
Was it
Kistler?
Was it a Pinot Gino?
Pinot Gino. My name is Pinot Gino. And we
when
had,
you used to rap, by the way, that's a little throwback to Wine and Web back in 2000. When did we do Wine and Web? 11?
We did 11.
I created a character named Pinot Gino.
It's actually my...
It's your Twitter handle.
My logo. Avatar, yeah. My Twitter handle. On
that is my drawing.
And then
fact.
We had a 2003 Pavé de Cesse Bordeaux.
Oh,
something
nice.
A little heavy at the end. That
that's
was nice.
Nice.
All yeah, right, so
let's... Did you have company?
Just the kids and some friends.
Did the
Small.
Kids bring some friends?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. All right, so let's finish up because we have a few other things to do. Let's talk about Vayner RSE.
Okay.
So you have an opportunity to execute all your experience and go out and invest in companies and try to build the companies of tomorrow. Tell us a little about...
It's a fund that I ran the last 2-3 years. All the money's deployed. Me and Steve were partners. We deployed 25...
Steve Ross.
Steve Ross. We
which
deployed
is the
20,
RSE.
Yep. We deployed $25 million. Matt Higgins, Phil Toronto, Kerry Kellogg, Sean Chang, a bunch of people involved on our side. We made a big investment into Snapchat. Good. We made some big
investments. Resi, good.
Yeah, we just had a big... Resi could end up being really good. We just had an exit. Beam, Casey Neistat's company. I love saying that. To CNN. We've had some Brave.
Casey's huge.
Huge.
It was the time to
huge.
Move the business.
Brave, which is sold to Turner. We've had a nice little run here. We still have some great companies.
So you have people out there, finger on the pulse, looking for the next thing.
Yep.
Ready to invest.
Yep.
Put the money in.
Yep.
Mentor.
Yes, but I definitely never promised that. There's a couple of things, you know, Micmac, an investment we made. I'm on the board, so I'm doing that. But, you know, my time is such an issue, and so I never wanted to bullshit anybody and say we're going to overly mentor. But I do, and I meet with my startups, but not to that level. That may be a chapter in my career in the future.
Right.
But right now I'm just too busy operating VaynerMedia.
Last thing.
Yes.
And it's sort of exciting because of what we like and what we do. Vayner Sports.
Yes.
Which is sort of the newest
Vayner
moniker.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
My brother AJ left VaynerMedia in March or May, and we're now doing Vayner Sports. It's Jerry Maguire.
Sports management.
That's right. We'll do the marketing for them as well, help them get, you know, sponsorship deals. And we think we got something. We have analyzed the agency world. We think that a lot of sports agents do not do enough by
so
the talent.
So you can rip their faces off?
I want to rip their faces off. That's exactly
okay.
right. Thank you for using one
is
of my favorite
there,
terms.
Are there any parallels to looking for the next company for Vayner RSE and looking for the next athlete for Vayner Sports?
That's exactly right. And much like VaynerMedia really disrupted an established industry... I want to do the same in Vayner Sports. I want Vayner Sports to be a real player against CAA and Roc Nation and things of that nature. And so I'm really excited about it.
Obviously, company's about a year old?
Yeah, it's not even. It's really not even. This is really our first class. It was called Symmetry Sports. AJ and I bought the majority
you
stake.
You acquired?
We did. Mook, Williams, and Brian. And so they are partners, and they are the actual registered NFL agents. And so it's really exciting.
Nice.
Yeah.
We wish you only good luck with that.
Well, thank you. I mean, yeah. How fun is it when we eventually rep a jet?
Oh, it'll be... Well, just full disclosure, we were at the jet tailgate, and one of your signees
yes.
was there,
yes,
you know, from a big college,
yeah.
Oregon, QB, big position.
Big time, yeah.
You know,
he's in
so
the CFL, great kid.
You're right. You're on
he's
your
on
way.
Today's Daily V.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right, so...
Yes.
That's the business part of it. I do a thing every week called the wine list, and I don't want to leave without you doing a wine list.
Okay.
Because it's something we post.
So
I'm going to ask you a bunch of spontaneous questions.
Let's do it.
Some are pretty pedestrian. All right. They're wine related. So what wine are you drinking now? Is there something? Is Barolo the answer?
No, this is going to blow people's mind if they follow my career. I am drinking California Chardonnay.
What? Give me some makers.
What am I drinking? A bunch of
Aubert, Kistler, Konsgard.
I'm drinking
Ramey.
Aubert. I've been drinking a bunch of Aubert. I've been drinking a bunch of
Peter Michael.
No, yes, I actually have been drinking.
Those
a little
are
bit
all expensive ones.
Yeah, these are. I'm an expensive character.
Oh sure.
Sobragia,
right?
Which
makes
some nice single
guy.
Vineyards. And here's one that everybody can find. Franciscan Cuvée Sauvage. So Kutz family. So for some reason, a style of wine I made fun of for a decade.
You're ordering in restaurants or popping up at home?
And thrilled. And
or at the beach house?
Patson Hall. And thrilled if somebody makes fun of me because I'll punch them in the face. So California Chardonnay, I'm proud of it. There's something that's hitting my palate right now that works for me.
Nice. Unusual answer for you.
Yeah.
All right. Give me a favorite wine and food pairing.
I would go with late harvest Riesling from the Alsace and Captain Crunch cereal.
Okay. Sweet on sweet.
Sweet on sweet.
All right.
Sweet
I could
squared.
Pretty much guarantee the listeners that that's the only
time you'll ever hear that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Favorite wine restaurant or wine bar? Is there a place in the city that's impressed you? I mean, you're out a lot.
I am. Historically, it was Crew and Veritas.
Right, the big wine guys.
Those were just so fun for me. That was the prime of my career, and they were big wine restaurants.
Right.
I love when Terroir popped up. He crushed
Paul
it.
Paul Greco.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Still
got a couple of them.
Trying to think. I feel like there was actually something that kind of really took me aback, and I was impressed. Charlie Bird has a fun list.
Yes.
He's also
well, Robert
Bourne
is a rock star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say those stand out.
All right, favorite all-time wine. I may be able to answer this.
Go ahead.
Tell me if I have this.
Go ahead.
A Ceylon Champagne?
So that's true. I would tell you that 82 Ceylon Champagne is
up there.
And I've said that in the past. The fanciest wine as my favorite wine is 47 Chevel.
47 Chevel Blanc.
But I was
Bordeaux.
Young. I was young.
You'd like to get that back.
I would. I was young. And I feel like I forced it. You know how like ugly dudes get really hot chicks
you
when they're famous?
You rarely have to explain things
right.
to me. I
so,
got it.
Yeah, so I feel like I was built, I was sold on the brand of it.
Okay.
And so 82 Ceylon, I think, you did a great job there. I would say that is way up there. 85 Sesicaia, even
great.
Though we razzed, I razzed Tuscany a little bit earlier.
All right, so good answers. Let's move to the next one.
Okay.
Reach back to your retail experience and your current knowledge.
Yes.
Because my listeners love this one. Best wine under $15. Give me a red and a white.
Best wine
You know,
under
if a guy like Ben could go over to dinner with two bottles, cost them $30, and they drink more expensive than they taste, what's the wines he should be carrying?
Oh, you know what? Where's my phone? Ben, give me my phone. I'm going to answer. So let me buy myself some time because I'm actually going to give you a specific one. For sure, and you know, I haven't wavered on this 10 years later, Portuguese red wines are incredible.
Okay, Portuguese red, great value.
And I think those are incredible.
What is the predominant grape?
So Touriga Nacional.
Okay.
Which is nerdy, and I apologize for that. So Foxglove Chardonnay, $12, available nationwide. Really good, super high on that. And then Promio Malbec, Promio, $11. Malbec.
Drinks. Malbec's a great heavy food
great.
Wine.
I know that Ben, you know,
is a
lives
Catena
in Argentina
guy.
Or whatever his name is. You know, so I'm a big fan of that. $11.
All right, those are good ones.
Thank you.
All right, last question. Best wine app out there today?
I'm an investor. And Delectable, but it seems that Vivino has won that game. Seems like everybody uses it. I see it all the time.
So Delectable was around first?
I don't know, to be very honest with you.
I think it was.
I don't know.
And then Vino came around. I think you're right.
It's Vivino, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The people that I 100%. Know have shifted to yeah. Vino a
and,
little
and
more.
The Vino's always had a little bit of a lead, and now it has a macro lead.
Right. All right, so will you stay with us for our weekly wine sip? We're going to taste a delicious wine.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Grape Nation. We've been talking to Gary Vaynerchuk, and we'll be right back.
And this one's called Walking Like a Cowboy by Tackstar. We'll be right back. Have you tasted the world's best cheese? Grand Cru Sauchois is the 2016 World Cheese Champion. Our partners at Roth, Wisconsin make this gorgeous alpine-style cheese in the rolling hills of Greene County, Wisconsin. Grand Cru Sauchois is produced by hand in Swiss copper vats and finished by aging on spruce planks. The quality milk and careful craftsmanship bring out the award-winning light floral notes, nutty undertones, a hint of fruitiness, and a mellow finish. Perfect with Riesling and Muscat, Grand Cru Sauchois is a guaranteed hit for any occasion. Check out their other offerings at rothcheese.com. You'll discover Buttermilk Blue and their newest release, Prairie Sunset, the golden-hued love child of Mimolette and Gouda. You'll also find recipes like the Raclette Reuben and tomato tartlets. Everything you need to know about the world's best cheese is at rothcheese.com.
All right, we're back. We're back with Gary Vaynerchuk, all-around good guy, media mogul, guru, wine guy, left a Jet fan.
Die hard.
All right, so Gary, every week we taste a different wine on it on okay. air. We call it our weekly wine sip. This week we're going to celebrate and toast to you, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Really?
I dug deep into the Grape Nation wine cellar and pulled out a gem, the 2003 Schaefer Hillside Select. This is a Napa Cali Cult Cab, grown in the Stag's Leap region, made of 100% Cabernet, and aged for 32 months in new French oak barrels. It's expensive, hard to find, and currently sells for at least $300. So Gary, I've known for a while, is probably the most astute wine taster I know. He has an incredible nose and palate. So we're going to let Gary, we're going to take a sniffy sniff, and then we're going to throw it over the tongue, and let's talk about what we're looking at and drinking.
So this is such an iconic wine. First of all, thanks for sharing it. The color's black, dark, unbelievably.
13-year-old wine.
Which is incredible, because right. it usually loses some of that intensity.
It rusts on the edge.
On the nose, it's got hardcore black jam, a little hint of.
Heavy black.
Really black, by the way. Like, super juicy. Feels like you're smelling red fruit, blueberries, blackberries, black fruit as well for that reason. A little hint of tobacco on the nose, on the tail end.
You get a little
smoke.
Graphite charcoal smoke.
Yep, 100%. Whether it's a match or a little bit of tobacco, it depends on your nose. That's what you'll get on the palate.
Mouthfeel.
So this is interesting, right? I don't know, for D-Rock, you and Ben, you know, depending on where your wine palates are, you can feel a little bit of the tannins on the back end, but they're so soft.
They are very soft.
And usually it's bitter.
Tell people what the tannins are.
It's you know, how you that puckery, tough flavor you taste when you
the
taste red wine.
The puckery flavor from the skins, the seeds, the stems.
Yeah, all the stuff that isn't the fruit, as you can imagine. And by the way, very easy, even if you're underage, to learn this. Go take a grape. Like, eat the skin versus eating the actual grape. That transcends into red wine. It gets bitter. If you remember the old bitter beer face commercials, which I thought was really funny, by the way. Anyway, nonetheless, what's great about this is what aged wine's all about. This wine, 8, 9, 10 years ago, would have felt hot on the back end because
it's
alcohol.
Calmed down a little.
Of course. So this is an elegance. You know what this is? This is like a 42-year-old distinguished gentleman who's got a little gray coming in.
Still handsome. Right?
Still got his mojo. Was an absolute, like, boy band rock star. Handsome at 19. Heartthrob.
Justin Timberlake?
Timberlake would be a great comp. 42-year-old Justin Timberlake is what this wine is. And so I like that. It's balanced, long finish. I'm still tasting it. And much like 42-year-old Justin Timberlake, and he's happily married, so I don't want to wish this on him, but still has plenty of game, right? This wine can probably last another 15 years easily.
Easily in the bottle.
Having the fruit in the bottle. I mean, it's really good.
So if we had to look at traditional rating systems, yes. 100 or whatever, where do we slot this wine?
If I was doing Wine Library TV, I'd probably score this wine 96 plus points.
Which is high for you.
Very.
You know, 92, 93 is a damn good wine. This I remember we drank a Spotswood on Grape Wine and Web.
Yes.
I think he gave it a 99.
It was
one of the most profound Cabernets.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you for tasting it with us. What would this pair with? Bloody red meats?
Pittsburgh-styled black and blue.
Black and blue, like, red on the inside and all that.
Uh-huh.
All right.
All right.
If you have a question, a wine happening, or an event, hit me up at sam@grapenation.com. That's Sam at Grape Nation. Follow us on Twitter at Ben Ruby and Instagram at SBenRuby. Thank you to our guest, Gary Vaynerchuk, for taking time out of his very busy schedule to join us on the Grape Nation.
Yep.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit radio station devoted to all things food and wine. Heritage needs your support during the big end-of-year fundraiser. A contribution in any amount not only supports HRN's 34 weekly programs, but also comes with exclusive member benefits. So if you like good food and wine, and you love good food and wine radio, throw a little dough our way, will you? Okay?
Will
you? You can go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate. That's heritageradionetwork.org/donate. David, my engineer, is showing me a T-shirt. You can get T-shirts, pot holders, all kinds of...
couple things I got to run because I'm missing a family... school. My daughter's school function.
All right.
This is how much I love you. But here, two things. One, David's amazing. Two, I really wish you could recall my first live radio read commercial,
which was an utter
disaster.
And by the way, you document in Ask Gary V how you overcame that.
So Ben Ruby, this wonderful man that you're listening to, runs in after the first one. I crush the creative. But then we
and
get to the commercial.
You're a guy that has no, you know, nothing, lack of nothing, being verbose.
Nothing. I crush the creative and it gets to the commercial time. I take the paper. This is something true. I can't read, meaning like I'm not good at it. So I read this ad. It is literally the worst execution of my career in public. No, it was like Stella Beer is a beer. It was the worst. It goes to commercial. I'm like, holy crap. That was the worst thing I've ever done publicly. He runs into the booth and he goes, listen to me. Stern never read it either. He just did stuff. The next time you do this, look at it right now.
Read
make some notes.
Air
just
and do, your own thing.
Do your thing.
Right.
The next time I came around, I don't know, maybe all-time great?
Rock star.
All-time great.
Rock star.
I love you, man.
All right, thank you, Gary.
Talk to you soon.
I'm Sam Ben Ruby, and you've been listening to the Grape Nation. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.